Thank you, Leah. Some of our music this morning, some of our singing, in fact, pretty much week in and week out. If you listen close, you're going to hear the fact that we believe in sending the gospel around the world. And we have a great bunch of missionaries. Some of them will be with us this week at the Bible conference. Some of them right out of our own church. And we praise God that He's called missionaries right out of our own church and doing a great job. Some of them will come home. It's a little bit of a homecoming for some of them to come back to the Bible conference this week. So again, I want to encourage you as church members, come out and support the meeting and enjoy the blessings. Amen. Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 8. Now, if you get to the book of Daniel, turn to your right. If you get to some of those small books like Joel and Amos, turn to your left. Everybody got that? And then get right where I want you here in chapter 8 of the book of Hosea. We're going to read about maybe 8 verses. And I'm going to talk to you on an unusual subject this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject, roosting chickens. Not roasting, but roosting. Really, my theme is when the chickens come home to roost. I hate to stop and teach you science, what that means, but I guess I better tell you a few things about it. In the old days, everybody had a chicken yard. You didn't have to have a 50 or 100 acre farm to have chickens. Most cities would let you have a chicken pen in the backyard, right? And that was important. You like scrambled eggs? I hate to tell you, they don't come from the grocery store. They come from a chicken. And the chickens we raised, they did touch the ground. They lived on the ground. And I know nowadays they got them in the pens. And I'm going to get off into that. I'll mess up. But the truth is, you learn a lot from chickens. They're smart. Really, really are. Smarter than you think. And you can learn a lot. Now, when everybody had a chicken yard in the back home of the house or somewhere, or if the chickens just run loose, you might have the neighbor's chickens in your yard. Your chickens might be 2 houses down. But there's one thing about it. When roosting time come, they all came home. If you had any doubts looking at the chickens in the yard as to who that one belongs to, it identified the owner as soon as it began to get a little bit dark. I remember one time we put the few chickens we had in a coop, tied it on the back of the old car, moved all the way from Georgia to Alabama, found an old shack of a house that we'd moved into out from town, and there was not a tree in the yard. Not a tree, not even a high brush in the yard. And we let the chickens out of the coop, and it began to get dark as we was unloading things. And you could see them going around, looking up like this. They knew in their heart they needed a high place to get to roost. Now, I'll never forget, Daddy took an old garden rake, and he went around inside the house, and he reached up high as he could and slammed it into the corner of that house, and the handle stuck out like this. And I was a kid. I wasn't more than 5. I thought, who's going to tell them chickens that's where they're supposed to roost? But one by one, they all got on the handle. Truth. That night when we got in the bedroom, Daddy went on to work. He was on the night shift at the plant. And as we got in the old house, and by the way, no ceiling, no sheetrock, one plank between you and the world. Anybody ever live in a house like that? We got back there in that bedroom, and Mother was putting my brother and I to bed, and we got in bed and got a little bit quiet, and then we heard this scratching on the wall. And then we heard the chickens just cackling out, and that thing kept scratching on the wall. It was a fox trying to scare them to fly off the handle. Not one of them did. And the next morning, they were still safe. But I tell you about the chickens, they'll identify who owns them. They'll go home at night. And what God is telling Israel right here, they've got the chickens come home to roost. They've been turning their back on him and going after idols. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 8 here. It says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel have cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Then he describes an idol. Thy calf, O Samaria, have cast thee off. Remember the children of Israel dancing around the golden calf when they come out of Egypt? That didn't end it all there. It kept happening. It says, mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be, are they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workman made it, in other words, it's an idol. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces, for they have sown the wind. And here's where my chicken roosting thing comes from. They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Sowing the wind was bad, but he said you're going to reap worse because of it. You're going to reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it, yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. God is saying, you brought this on yourself. What you sowed, you reaped. And the counterpart of this verse would be Galatians 6:7 over there. That God is not mocked, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And what God is saying, you sowed to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You sowed it, now the crop's coming up. You sowed it, now your chickens are coming home to roost. It's going to identify you. It's going to point you out. They're going to say, that's the one that owned me. That's the one that caused this. And they're going to reap what they sow as the chickens come home to roost. Now, this is a Bible truth that's expressed in a lot of different places, no doubt about it. And experience proves it out. Proverbs says this, the curse without cause shall not come. In other words, it takes a cause to bring the curse. The curse causeless shall not come. Now, something behind it. God is saying to the Jews right here, you started worshiping idols, and now my blessing's not on you. You've done the wrong thing. I have no pleasure in you, and you brought it on yourselves. Your chickens are coming home to roost. I want to make an application or two about this morning. To begin with, I said we see it by experience. Yes, we do. We look around today and we see, and of course you look to Washington, we think of our own nation, but it's really worldwide. You look around and you see politics today for personal power. What you see is sell out my nation if I get some gain from it, is what it amounts to. We saw this week the terrorists come in to New York and rent a truck and run down the sidewalk for almost a mile, killing people and bicyclists and pedestrians. By the way, I guess they're going to start speaking against trucks now like they do guns. Kind of crazy, isn't it? I think they outlawed, boiler pots. I'm joking about that. The truth of the matter is, I actually heard some commentators trying to attack guns when the man had two toy guns. He was trying to commit suicide, right? I like what one of the policemen said. One of the reporters asked him, well, did you talk to him? He said, no, we didn't have nothing to say to him. I like that. They opened up on him, and that was the way it should have been. But you know what? To identify the reason that guy was here, in a sense, the chickens are coming home to roost. You know he was here on a visa lottery. Do you understand what that means? That means he was not vetted. He was not examined. It was like pulling a note out of the hat and saying, I've won the lottery, so now I can come in without being checked out, without being scrutinized, and I can bring all my kin with me. And that's the way he came in. Now, why? Because the chickens are coming home to roost in America of open borders. and the liberal judges that are striking down every ban the president puts to try to keep them from coming in that way, the chickens are roosting on those judges' desks, is what it really, really amounts to. I mean, these liberal judges today beat all I have ever seen. The fake news is right along with them. And the chickens are roosting, as it were, on their heads, all the excuses they make. This fella ran out there after he run over those people and got out of the truck and with his toy guns. What was he hollering? He was hollering, Allah Akbar, or God is great. But that's their battle cry. But I heard one of the liberal newsmen say, well, that's really a sweet phrase. Trying to deny that it's terrorism. Trying to deny that it's anchored in Islam. Trying to deny the real cause behind it. I said to the Sunday school class this morning, the pilots that flew, the Arabs that flew the airplanes into the towers was doing a religious thing. They were trying to pay their way, earn their way to their heaven and their 72 virgins they think's waiting on them. Boy, if you could interview one of them now, he'd have a little more say, wouldn't he? It'd be pretty hot in that interview, I'll guarantee you. But no, we look around today and we see that we're reaping what we sowed. We're seeing it everywhere. And folks, listen, other nations reaped like we are beginning to reap. Check out why Rome fell. Listen, read your historians a little bit and you'll find out that it wasn't the barbarians that came in from the outside that brought Rome down. It was the corruption from the inside that brought them down, and all the barbarians ever had to do was come in and pick up the pieces, and that's where we at. Right. If we can't correct it. Now, we got some hope in this election, but I've never seen a man be attacked like the president is now. And it's not just that they don't like his personality. They don't like the issues that he's trying to defend and stand for. That's what it really boils down to. But America's chickens are coming home. If you don't think so, look at England. Now, I cut this out. Just saw it recently, if I can find it in my Bible. I cut this out on what's happened to England. By the way, what's happened to England is what's happened to Germany, and it's what is happening in America, and the fellow of the terrorism and the attacks is just a symptom of getting bigger and bigger. Here's what happened, and the title of this article is Farewell to England. Farewell to England. How the British have passively succumbed to the Muslim invasion. Inside invasion now. You remember all the stories, all the different terrorism acts, but we're talking about something even more sinister than that, the cancer that's growing inside this nation of England. I'm naming some cities here. These are major cities now in England. The mayor of London, Muslim. The mayor of Birmingham, Muslim. The mayor of Blackburn, Muslim. The mayor of Sheffield, Muslim. The mayor of Oxford, Muslim. The mayor of Luton, Muslim. The mayor of Oldham, Muslim. The mayor of Rochdale, Muslim. That's major cities, every one of them as a Muslim mayor now. Let me move on. Says all of this was achieved by about 4 million of them moving in. And we got about that many or more now in America. Here's what they've been able to do. They've created 3,000 Muslim mosques, 130 Muslim Sharia courts. Now get that. Sharia is their law. All of a sudden they can come in. It's not our constitution. It's not our laws. They set up their own. They have their own judges. They have their own court. They have their own law. In America, they're doing the same thing.
Right.
Now this is in London, 130 Sharia courts. Over 50 Muslim Sharia councils. You say, well, that don't affect me. Well, let me ask you this. Muslims can marry four wives, have four wives under their religion. They can have all the other women they can capture. That's their religion, folks. Read it. It's in the Quran. I got one in my office. If you want to suffer through it, I'll loan it to you. I'm talking to you about some bad stuff Sharia law allows. Honor killings in the family, that sort of thing. We've had that happen right here in Polk County. You know well. But I'm saying to you, this is bad stuff. over 130 Sharia courts. Now, a Muslim can marry four wives, and ladies, listen, all he has to do to divorce one wife is say three times, "I divorce you." If that worked, some of y'all would be divorced out there already. Now, what I'm saying to you, they can do their own law, and their own judge can sanction that sort of thing. And we're going to, what are we going to do? Bring a nation and put it in our nation and then let them control us? That's what happens, is happening in England. It's what's happening in many of the European countries. And it's what they want in America. And if the liberals in America don't quit, that's what's going to happen here. It's happening here big time. The chickens are coming home to roost. That's what I'm talking to you about. Now, goes on here. In England, there's many no-go areas across the UK, United Kingdom. That means this is my community, you don't enter here. Even the police can't go in there. It's their area. Muslim women, 78% don't work and on free benefits on the welfare program with England. 63% of the men don't work and are on free benefits. That is amazing. Never paid in, but take out. The children can go free, get the benefits, and now all the UK schools are only serving meals that are permitted by the Muslim religion. No wonder the article says farewell to England. Folks, I'm talking to you about something very serious. I look here and I see the nation of Israel going down because they turned to other gods. They turned to the idols, brought God's judgment upon them. And the same thing is happening in the world today. Korea's in the news and the nuclear thing's in the news, but that's chickens coming home to roost. I remember when George MacArthur over there in the Korean War, he wanted to go on in and finish that job, but instead they stopped at the 38th parallel, and that's where our president's trying to visit right now. And we're in a real dilemma here with the nuclear thing right now because the chickens are coming home to roost. What was set out is coming back. It's too bad, but it's true. Global preparations. You say, preacher, no, not going to be any nuclear war. Well, tell me this. Why is it being prepared for globally? Do you know that there's big seed banks in America, in Norway, and other places prepared to try to save the seed plants of the earth because they're expecting the nuclear war to destroy everything, and they've got to start over? Well, you and I, we know there's going to be a start over, but it's going to be with the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I know that. I'd sure be just as nervous as the rest of them if I didn't know that. Amen. That's the real truth. But you know what? I look here. I didn't apply it. I didn't apply it politically. I didn't apply it to the nations. But I also bring this a little closer home to us. The chickens come home to roost in a lot of families that didn't raise their kids the way God told them to. And now it's sad. And I feel for you. And I know sometimes good parents have kids turn out bad, but I want to say to you a big part of our problem, I said it for years here with this Christian school, it's not juvenile delinquents, it's adult delinquents. And many of them come to a good church, hear the right preaching, know what the Bible says, and this is the way I ought to do it, but I got a better idea and I'll compromise just a little bit with the world. You know what the book of James says? It says that we'd be friends with the world, with the enemy of God. You know, the world's always going to disagree with God. No wonder that our public education system don't let God in it. They won't ignore him. They don't want the Bible in there. They don't want prayer in there. It's systems that's diametrically opposed one to the other. And yet Christian parents keep bringing their little lambs and sacrificing them at the altar of prestige. That's right. Come on. Because it's state-sponsored and socially accepted. Right. And then you come to the preacher and say, "Oh, what happened to my kid?" I tell you what happened to your kid. You didn't follow God's plan. Amen. Amen. Help yourself. I'm old enough now I could care less what people think when I preach. My wife said to me, "said I don't know why they don't kill you one day for that preaching. That'd be good, just be a shortcut to heaven." Amen. Yeah. In the meantime, I'm going to share the truth, like it, lump it, or get in the middle of it. I could care less. I'm just telling you, chickens are coming home to roost. I'm a country kid. I used to know about what it meant when the chickens, they belong, they identify the owners. That's where they go back to. Amen. Bible does tell us how to raise our kids. And folks, the more we compromise with the world, the more we lose them. It's a sad truth, but it's true. We got two or three generations we've lost. The reason we have trouble with kids with these cell phones, wanting to watch porn on it. I saw a stat where the average little boy, by the time he's 10 years old, has already tuned in with his private cell phone all the pornography he can imagine at 10 years old. We've had trouble right here in our Christian school with little girls stripping off and making pictures of themselves on their phones and sending them to boys. Where'd they get that? They didn't get it out of the Bible. Where'd they get that? They didn't get it from Christian parents that's teaching the right thing. Where'd they get it? They got it from the world's crowd, Hollywood and the TV and the electronic gadgets out there, the internet and all Instagram and all that stuff. You say, well, I monitor mine. Who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? The kid's smarter than you are with that thing. And you don't check it but once in a while anyhow. Oh, don't bore me with that. I know exactly how it goes. And I'm seeing a lot of bad stuff going on. You say, but I send my kid to the Christian school. Is that supposed to fix everything? I got news for you. You can't farm out raising your kids. You got to do it yourself. You're not gonna get a substitute to come in and do what you're supposed to do. I've seen some of our kids in Christian school through the years turn out great, and I'm proud of them. I've seen some of them turned out just as bad as if they'd never been to a Christian school. I heard about one recently, one of our men, I guess it was Brother Nixon, preaching over in the at the mission, and he said to me, a man come up to him, grown man now, come up to him and recognize him, and for a little while went to our school. Now he's on the street as a mission bum. I hate to hear that. Something went wrong somewhere. Went bad wrong somewhere. I hate to hear that stuff. But yeah, the chickens come home to roost. It's what was sent out comes back in. Too bad, but it happens. You know, too many parents sow their own wild oats. And a lot of you get bluffed out by the devil. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how bad you lived. If you got saved and you started living the Christian life, don't let the devil intimidate you that you got to let your kids do what you used to do. And that's the devil's lie that he'll work on you with. And too many parents sowed their own wild oaks, and now they're praying for crop failure in the kids. But it's not going to work that way. What you sowed is going to come up. And as the text said, sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind means it's going to come back more abundantly, greater, much more. It's always you reap more than you sow. And that's sad, but it's a sad truth today. I see these stats that just worry me in the sense that they don't have to happen. Believers don't have to compromise and cost them their own families because they won't do what God said. This building, you couldn't build buildings big enough if we could keep all the Christian families' kids straight and let them reproduce and come back and live for the Lord. I'm not just beating a straw man here. I'm telling you the truth. There's solid truth on it. And you're going to reap what you sow. Many parents are reaping exactly that. I'm going to move off of this, and I'm going to say something. Some of you, your chickens are going to come home to roost spiritually. Say, what do you mean? I mean, you can't live and feed the carnal side of you, the flesh, the physical part. You can't feed it only without it costing you in the long run. Now, I'm talking to you especially if you're not saved. See, if you're not saved, here's all you're doing. You're living pretty much like an animal. You say, don't call me an animal. You're living just like one. All you're living for is what you can eat, what you can drink, what you can feel, what you can taste, what appetite you can satisfy next, and that's all an animal does. You have failed to recognize there's more to you than just a physical body. In fact, inside of you is the one that's going to live forever somewhere. Somebody said, I don't have eternal life. Yes, you do. You're going to live eternally somewhere in heaven or in hell. You're going to live forever. Whether you admit it or not, there's a soul inside of you crying out, don't forget me. But you are forgetting that soul. You're feeding the outside man, and the inside man is scared to death where he's going to go. Long time before I was saved, I realized something inside says, what you're doing is vain. This is not going to end up good. Long time before I was ever saved and heard much gospel about Jesus, I realized there's got to be more to life than what I can taste and touch and feel. Do you realize that here today? There's more to you than what your neighbor sees, or your wife sees, or your friend sees. They don't look inside, but inside is an eternal soul crying out for attention, fearing what you're doing to it. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Sad truth is, ignore it all you want to. The sad truth is that one day it'll be too late. Spiritually, the chickens will come home to roost. Say, what do you mean, preacher? I'll say to some of you right now, you live an unthankful life. You don't care that you had good parents that tried to raise you right. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know the song. I don't even know much about it, but I change batteries in my car, and when I change batteries in the car, it messes up the radio. My radio dial's always set on our radio station, never nowhere else. But I found out that if you change batteries in it, the thing may jump. My son got in trouble before I learned that, because I got in his car and thought he was on the wrong station. I forgot I'd changed batteries. He's still alive, but barely. But anyway. But I changed batteries, and it jumped, and I going down the road, and all of a sudden I recognized, that's not our station. And the song on the station was, it said, Mama Tried. I'm not going to ask you if you heard it, because you shouldn't be listening to some of these other places. Mama Tried. It was a heathen kid in the gutter, singing a song about Mama Tried, but it didn't work on me. I failed. I went my own way anyway. Now, you know, that's a lot of truth to that. Even the hillbillies, some of the fellas that lost their pickup trucks and their wives, when you play music backwards, they all get them back. But anyway, play it with you now. There's a truth to that. A lot of parents tried. But some kids, I'm going my way anyway. Now, I'm thankful that you might have had godly mother, godly parents, mother praying for you. You know, there's a Proverbs chapter 30 talks about that, says there is a generation that curseth father and doth not bless their mother. Says there is a generation that's pure in their own eyes. We've come to that, folks. We've definitely got that generation today. That generation that ignores being raised and given the right direction. We're in a time spiritually when many are ignoring the very voice of God deep down in their soul. That voice is called often for a long time. God's used others. An outside voice from a preacher, from a teacher, from a mother, from a daddy, from a friend that said there's a God to answer to. But you've ignored that call. Your own soul crying from within, you've ignored it. You've ignored it. But you know what? I got good news for you. If that's you, and if you be honest, if your chickens are coming home to roost, if you'll recognize them, they're pointing you out, you can change. God will change you. Yes, you can change directions. I've heard a lot of folks say this. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to change. Generally, and we see it around New Year's, another New Year's resolution to break. Right? But I want to tell you something. There is a change that's real. There's a change that's permanent. You can be changed. You can be born again. You can leave whatever background of family that might be dragging you down and get born again into the family of God. Have a new life. Become a new creature in Christ. You can do that. And then you won't one day have to say, well, my chickens are coming home. I recognize them. They're mine. They identify me. You know, think about this thing of changing. I remember this. I probably remember it from the third grade, right here in Haines City. I came to Haines City from Georgia Country School, and the building's tore down now, but right over here in the middle of the end of the third grade, and graduated here in Haines City School. But there was a boy that I met for the first time in the third grade. I could call his name. In fact, I won't give you his whole name. I'll give you his first name. His name was Emery. I kind of got friendly with Emery because he thought he could beat me up at phys ed, and he lost. And after that, he decided to be my friend. And we were somewhat friendly. But Emery, even in the third grade, was hooked on cigarettes. He dropped out of school about the end of the sixth grade, never went to junior high. But if Emery came up behind you and put his arm around you, you knew who it was before you turned around. He stunk. His breath was so awful. Cigarette. We called him Lucky because it was Lucky Strikes that he always had with him. Some of you remember those? Uh-huh. Anyway, I never forget what Emery would say. And he got his dirt from somewhere. Boy, he got his dirt. He'd say, Emery, where are you going? His pet answer was, to hell if I don't change. I remember that from the third grade on. To hell if I don't change. I didn't know much about hell, Bible, nothing, but I didn't, you know, I figured there probably was one, but he'd say it every time. Where you go? I'm going to hell if I don't change. Well, he dropped out. I never saw him again from fifth or sixth grade, end of fifth or sixth grade. And then I'd been out of school a couple of years. And one night, right here in Haines City, a fellow showed up where we were all sitting around the root beer stand. And he needed a ride, and it turned out to be him. And I gave him a ride down here somewhere about a mile this way east. And again, I heard him say, and I was lost then, but, well, Emery, where are you going? I'm going to hell if it don't change. Then several years later on a business job, before I went in the ministry, I stopped at a business and I saw him there. And that time I was a Christian. And I tried to say something to him. He said, oh, no chance of me ever changing. I'm going to hell. And then one day I picked up the obituary in the paper a few years later and I read his name. Now here was a fellow that kept saying, see, that was a conviction statement. I'm doing wrong. I know where I'm going if it don't change. I wonder if somebody listening to me today has said, I got to change. I'm going to change tomorrow. I'm going to change next week. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to get right. I don't know how long he said that. I hope he did, but I have little confidence that he did. And then I saw his name in the obituary. I want to say to you here today, the good news is Jesus will change you if you will let him. He says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things can pass away and all things can become new. And you can be changed. And you can know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. My. Chickens are going to come home to roost. You're going to reap what you sowed. The ship you sent out is the one that's going to come back in. And the truth is, Christ is the only one can remedy that. The only one that can change that for you. You know, we all going to leave this life. If Jesus comes for the saved, they'll leave it without dying. But if he don't, we sometimes talk at funerals about Christian people having a home going. But there's a sense in which a lost man has a home going. You know what Jesus said? Now, he said it. Don't get mad at me. Jesus said it. Look it up in John 8:44 later. He said to some folks over there, ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father ye will do. He was a liar from the beginning. He's talking about Satan. But what's he saying? He's saying, he's your father. You hatched out unto him. Yeah. And so when that homegoing comes for the devil's crowd, they're going home with him. Where does the devil live? You say, well, ultimately it's the lake of fire. Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. Where's your home going to take you? When the chickens go home to roost, where would it be? You know what, I talking about being a farm boy and talking about the chickens this morning, what a lot you can learn from them. When I was a country kid, the chickens ran loose behind around the house, and we went out and threw out corn to them and fed them and that sort of thing. Sometimes they fed us. But anyway, I remember learning a few things from them. I learned one thing: when an old setting hen hatches out her little bitties, you stay away from her. She will flog you good. I learned that as a kid. I want you to get a point, though. I could step on the back porch and yard full of chickens, little chickens, more than one mother hen hatched out a brood of chickens. Little old baby chickens everywhere looked all alike to me. But one mother hen could be over here, 20 foot away, and find a good old juicy worm or something and go to clucking like you never heard. And every one of her babies came to her. Not the babies from the other mothers, only hers. Only hers recognized her voice. Only hers returned. One day that trumpet's going to sound, and only his are going to hear. And we're going up to be with him. That old mother hen taught us a lesson. She knew where hers were, and they knew her. Jesus knows us, and we know him. And when he calls, we're going up. I want to ask you today, if your chickens come home tonight, what would they point out? Would you confess, yes, I own that. I sent it out. That's mine. Would it identify you? I want to say the good news is, you can change. The Lord will change you if you let him do it. Jesus loved you. He died for you. He paid for your sins. If you will receive him, he can make you a new creature in him. And that homegoing will be something you look forward to, not fear. You can leave that seat this morning, come down the aisle and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, just like I did one day and like all many of these people did. And you can leave here today with the assurance in your heart that if I died today, I'd go home to be with Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. I don't fear my homecoming. I'm identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my owner. He's the one changed me. He's the one bought me. He's the one paid for my sins. And preacher, I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven because of Jesus. Not me, my goodness, or my membership in the church, but because of Jesus and what he did for me. Are you here and you say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it because of Jesus. Would you lift that hand up all over the building? Can you lift it? Can you lift it? Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. If you didn't lift your hand, you've never received Christ. You're still trying to make your own way. And it's not working too good. I thank you for your honesty. But I want to say to you, I got good news for you. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. You come to him, he'll accept you. Are you willing to come? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Lord, we're going to sing a song. We invite men, women, boys, and girls to leave that seat and come forward and receive Christ. Lord, it's the best thing I ever heard when I realized that I could come just as I am without one plea. That, Father, you loved me, that you died for me, that your Son would accept me. In spite of my sins, he would pay for them and forgive me, and I could be changed. And I thank you for that day. And I pray for others right here, right now in this building and out in radio land, that be thy will, that they would say, yes, Lord, I'm coming to you. Accept me. I believe on you. I know you love me. I know you died for me. I pray right here in this place this morning, not one would leave this room still unsaved. Lord, we commit the invitation to you and ask that you speak to hearts. Do what we can't do, and that's draw men to yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step down to the front. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
Just as